For the very first time in a long, long while, the newsroom will not be talking about a sad event. My goodness, I should be smiling. Yes, I definitely should be smiling. But we'll be celebrating Nigeria's 23 years of democratic rule. That's, of course, because yesterday was June 12th and a day earmarked, at least since 2018, across the country to celebrate democracy. Well, over the last few weeks, Nigerians have been trooping in and out of voter registration centers, trying as much as possible to get their permanent voter's card, such that there's a surge in some states. We'll discuss that on the show. And of course, the race to get the vice presidential candidate of the parties continue. They've got a particular date, a Thursday, I think, this week, to send in those names. Who will it be? Will it be a Muslim ticket? Will it be a Christian ticket? Will ethnicity and tribe be a criteria to judge? Well, all of these are more will get us talking on the newsroom this evening. A very good evening to you. My name is Ifeoma Egbamonu. It's 15 minutes gone past the 6 o'clock hour. I've got Taogo Obo, my partner in crime, who is right here with me. I'll go a very good evening to you.
A very good evening to you for my happy Democracy Day.
Okay, I don't know if I'm happy, but oh well, let's get this party started. On the 12th of June, 1993, I remember as a 13-year-old, or almost 13-year-old at the time, Nigerians going to the polls to elect a president. And of course, I still remember vividly how happy a lot of persons in the country were when, of course, results started coming in and it was looking like the late MKO Abiola was going to be the country's next president. Unfortunately, a couple of weeks later, that did not happen because the then ruler of military head of state, General Badamasi Ibrahim Babangida, decided, you know, to do away with that election. And to a large extent, it set a lot of things in motion, which culminated in, of course, Nigeria getting back democracy on the 29th of May 1999, when a lot of states, especially in the southwest of the country, decided to celebrate June 12th as Democracy Day, and of course in honor of the late MKO, up until 4 years ago, when of course President Muhammadu Buhari decided to not just make it a southwest thing but include the whole country. And since then, it's been celebration. And of course, he was a former general, major general, but now he is President Muhammadu Buhari. Well, he did address us yesterday and talked about a lot of things, including some of the challenges that the country is facing. We're going to be joined by a pro-democracy activist, a lawyer, someone who's been at the forefront of fighting for democracy. I remember seeing her at the station a couple of days or was it weeks ago, and I told her, hey, Ma, you are one person I really looked up to. Of course, listening to her, or rather following her movement back then in the 90s, and how herself and a few others actually, ensure that Nigeria fought off the military. Don't mind our go expressing some plenty things here in the studio. we're trying to connect, of course, to Ayo Obe, who's actually a friend of the family. You get to hear from her on the show every Friday. We're trying to connect to her, of course, to give us a little bit of insight as to what it was like, you know, fighting off, first off, General Badamasi Babangida, and then the late Sani Abacha, which of course resulted in us getting democracy in 1999. Now, are we there? It doesn't look like we are there yet, but just as we're trying to, of course, connect to pro-democracy activist and lawyer Ayo Obe, let's let you know that we would also have a director of programs at the Youth Initiative for Advocacy, Growth and Advancement. That's talking about YAGA Africa. We'll be having Cynthia Mbamalu also on the show in a matter of minutes. But for now, looks like we've got Ayo Obe joining us right here on the newsroom on Nigeria Info. A very good evening to you, Ma. How are you doing?
Good evening. I'm fine, thank you.
All right. Ufumai Gbamenu here. And of course, Aogo Obu also here in the studio. Let me start quickly by asking you first, in a nutshell, maybe in a minute or thereabout, just tell us, for the benefit of the Gen Z or the people who are not old enough to remember, what was it like? I remember reading a lot of things you guys did, you know, with Nadeko, CLO. You know, I read a lot of the Newswatch, the News, you know, and all of those magazines at the time. But just refresh our memories. What was it like fighting for Nigeria's democracy and fighting the likes of Babangida and Sani Abacha?
Well, I have to say that I just happened to find myself in a situation where I was part of the fight. But there were people who really sacrificed, who led the fight. And, of course, there were the principals, like M.K. Abiola himself. But there were also so many people in civil society. I mean, I wasn't young even in 1993. But there were a lot of young people, members of Civil Liberties Organization, Committee for the Defense of Human Rights, that's CLO and CDHR. And they had come together to form the Campaign for Democracy under the leadership of Dr. Beko Ransom Kuti. Mm. And so there were a lot of doubts about the Babangida transition to civil rule because it was so constrained. You know, there were only two political parties. You had to be in one or the other. Mm-hmm. And he kept on changing the goalposts, banning people, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. But eventually he had to let the election be held because even he had run out of room to dribble us. You know, they used to call him Maradona.
Maradona.
He was dribbling us. But he ran out of room, so he had to let the election go ahead. But again, he got cold feet, and some way or the other, whether it was his people or by his direct intervention, there were an attempt to stop the election from going ahead with the Association for a Better Nigeria. And he used the order that was made by the court on the night before the election
That's an excuse.
To eventually cancel the election. Mm. But for people, I mean, a lot of civil society were conflicted about whether they should take part in the elections at all. Mm. Now, me, I always vote in elections unless I have a real good reason not to. So I voted on June 12th. I saw the way it happened. That was the time when we had moved from queuing up behind the party symbol to actually having a secret ballot. And we had the ballot, and we all waited around. I lived in Yaba then. We opened the ballot. We saw it. It was all very transparent. And that's why it got the reputation as being the freest and fairest election in our history. Although you will know that way of conducting elections is what has continued throughout, so that the business of having ballot boxes, which are opened in the presence of as many people as care to be there, and counted in public, and then the result is known, that had become the standard for the conduct of Nigerian elections. Mm. And what we've done since then is to improve on that, so that, because, you know, you could see what, in those days, you could see what was happening at your own polling station, but you didn't know what was happening at any other polling station. Now, with INEC and having the direct transmission of results, you should be able to see all the results that INEC says is
possibly counting in real time.
Yes, and also to know whether they're feeding in, you know, about 10,000 fictitious polling stations or not. But in those days, we didn't know that. And, of course, it was a new method. So the political class or the politicians or the crooks had not worked out how to cheat. And then when he banned the election, civil society really rose to the occasion under the leadership of Dr. Berko Ransom Kuti. But the military was also ready for civil society.
For the fight, yeah.
Yes, and that's why we lost almost 200 people on the streets of Lagos when Sani Abacha, late Sani Abacha, ordered the army to open fire on the demonstrators. From there, we moved to, okay, we're not going to come out into the street to be mowed down and killed. We would now have the origin of sit at home. We call it Villemort, that everybody would stay in on a strike to tell the military that we were not happy, we were not going to accept the cancellation of the election. And eventually, I think that the military realized that we need to find a way out of this corner that Ibrahim Babangida has painted us into. And so we had that scene where he tearfully said that he's stepping aside. Instead of handing over to letting the election result be continued and declared, he handed over to what we always have to call a contraption.
Yep. And the late NS
interim national government. That was eventually declared illegal by the High Court of Lagos State Justice Dolakwa Akinsonya. And then that was the excuse for Sani Abacha to seize power completely. And though he pretended that he was doing it preparatory to allowing Abiola to claim his mandate, in the end he didn't. He seized power for himself. He dissolved all the procedures under the transition that far. You know, we had governors, we had
senators, National Assembly members.
And so on. In fact, yeah, on Saturday, I was at the Espetedo Hall where Enke Abiola, after he got tired of waiting for Sani Abacha to live up to his promise that he was going to help Abiola realize his mandate, he realized that Abacha wanted the power for himself. And so at Espetedo, in the heart of Isaleko, Abiola declared that he was the president-elect of Nigeria and that he would be reclaiming his mandate. And then 12 days later, the Abacha regime picked him up and accused him of treason. And it was funny because the BBC was actually interviewing MK Abiola as he was being taken into custody. He sounded in such high spirits. It's strange to realize that he never came out of that detention that he was thrown into. He never came out of it alive.
Sadly. Okay, quickly, let's move this conversation forward now. What has been the most important lesson for you from June 12th so far?
I think of course, I always think of it as, you know, Shakespeare said, there's a tide in the affairs of men which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. And when Babangida cancelled that election, that tide was not taken. So Nigeria's journey, as Shakespeare would say, had been bound in shallows and misery. And it's taking us a long time to get back to the next tide in our affairs. And it may be that we won't find the tide coming, but we will have to do the long, hard slog of building our democracy. But that's the lesson for me, that, you know, when people used to say that, oh, Nigeria had things handed on a platter that nobody sacrificed, people died for this democracy. It's good now that people are understanding that democracy is not something that you just leave to others, that you also have to play your part. That means getting your voter's card. That means looking at the candidates. That means not looking for a messiah who's going to be a saint from head to toe, from alpha to omega, but to looking among all the choices that are available to you, which is the one that you feel most will answer your ideas of what Nigeria needs, what you need, and then making that and voting.
Okay.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about, oh, your vote won't count and so on. I always say, until you cast it, you won't know. But if you don't cast it, definitely your vote cannot count.
Right. Exactly. Cast. Right. Exactly.
So that's the real lesson of it. Right. Cast your vote and let's see if it's counted.
Exactly.
It
and
will be.
Yes, are you? And now we're counting down to the next general election. It's such a watershed moment, the June 12th electoral process, that we now have a day and we now look at it as some height that can be reached or not reached is the next question as we look towards the 2023 general elections. You think with what we've done so far, we can compare and contrast preparations that this next election will match the June 12th presidential poll?
Well, I think that, as I said, that the method that we use for our elections has been used, was the one that we used on June 12th. Mm. And what's happened is that there have been refinements, and the business of being able to have electronic identification of voters, that is something that is an improvement by INEC. I don't say that INEC's elections are perfect, but what I do say is that they have been improving and improving, and that the way for us to test the system is for us to use it. There's no point in having a system of electing people tied up with a bow, and then we say that, we don't know whether it works or not. So we have to test it. And yes, INEC probably will be overwhelmed with the number of people who come to be accredited and to vote. But that will encourage it and force it to improve its procedures. As we saw in the gubernatorial off-cycle elections and the by-elections that have been held, we're also going to see perhaps in Ekiti and the Osun State elections that INEC will have to keep on improving. And it's for us to demand that it improves. I think that one area that still needs to be, that we're seeing more improvements on too, is the issue of intra-party democracy, where I know there'd been all the talk about buying and selling and so on and so forth, but the process has become more transparent in terms of what you see on the day. What we need is for people who are delegates to also understand that they need to be transparent in the way that they decide to be to cast their votes for the aspirants. You know that in other countries, for example, in the United States, when they hold their delegates' elections, you automatically know that this delegate had been elected because they're going to vote for candidate or for aspirant A, B, or C. Mm. We don't have that yet. And there are many different ways to approach this. I mean, we know that in the United Kingdom, for example, they don't even have, they just have selection committees.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have primaries or anything like that. They just have selection committees to say, you are now going to be the candidate. Mm. So there are different ways to skin the cat. Mm. But I think that we are getting more to a situation where people are seeing what it's been, and also feeling that if they don't like what happened, right, in party A or party B or party C, then there's still party D, E, F, G
to go to
for them to choose from. And what we need not to do is to disempower ourselves with the whole he can't win mentality, that wasted vote idea, and all these kinds of things that we use to tell ourselves that we don't have much choice.
Mm. Okay.
So I think that if we can get ourselves out of those things and just say, whatever it is, whether our candidate is going to win or lose, whether it's a wasted vote or not, let me cast it. Because even the person who wins needs to feel the breath of the man behind him.
Yeah, exactly.
To make him run very fast.
Okay, Ayo. There's a whole lot more to talk about as it concerns elections and participation and voting, because that's the next topic we're actually going into on the newsroom this evening. And of course, we'll have another guest join us. So just hold on a second. It's been crazy in the last few weeks, with of course a surge in the number of persons going to INEC's offices to actually get themselves registered. Even the INEC chairman himself confirmed this, that the five southeastern states, as well as Lagos and Kano, has seen some of this surge. Well, there was an event held here in Lagos over the weekend, Saturday to be precise, where, of course, the youths, it looks like they might just be the game changer in this political dispensation. Well, our correspondent, Emmanuel Onwuka, was at that event. And Emmanuel is right here in the studio. Emmanuel, the crowd there on Saturday, why do you think there were lots and lots of people at the Tafawa Balewa Square?
I think a lot of people were there because of the influence of the celebrities.
You lost your voice. You've been shouting too much. Sorry.
Yeah, because of the influence of the celebrities. You know, a lot. It was like a mega jam.
Okay. It was like a concert.
It was more than a concert.
Oh, wow. So you practically enjoyed yourself.
Of course. Yes,
okay.
I did.
Okay. You will come back and answer our query.
Thank you very much. So, yes, it was more than a concert because having those caliber of celebrities, you mm-hmm. know, in a normal show, you would pay maybe 10,000, okay. you know, as a regular gate fee to go see
Not even VIP. So
not even VIP.
So they had the opportunity to see their celebrities, musicians, artists, yeah. you know. So what were those celebrities telling them at the event?
Every one of them had the message of go get your PVCs. Mm. That was the message for all of the celebrities. You know, they were passing that message. They made sure at the beginning and at the end of it, you know, they made sure to pass that message of go get your PVCs. Everybody must vote, you know. And, you know, these are some of the celebrities that have used their social media handles in the past to whip up support, you know, from members of the public and tell them and, you know, castigate the government, you know, raise concerns about, you know, things happening in society. So yeah. it was not unusual to see them come over, you know, at the concert and start saying
to use that
things.
Opportunity.
Yes, to start talking about it.
Okay, joining us on the show right now is Yaga Africa's director of program, Cynthia Mbamalu. A very good evening to you, Cynthia. Welcome to the newsroom on Nigeria Info.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. It's good to have you on the show. You, of course, have Ayo Obe also on the show this evening. Cynthia, quickly, let me ask you, why do you think we've gotten this latest surge, the number of persons going to INEC offices to try and register? Why do you think we have this surge?
Well, I think first is the fact that post the NSAS, if you remember, one of the conversations around the time for the protest was the fact that a lot of people sort of, what I call it, quote-unquote, blamed young people and said, you can protest, but you do not vote.
Mm.
So after the aftermath of the street protest and all the you know, evils that went on around that period, I think there was this interest amongst young people. So if you remember that a lot of Twitter spaces commenced post the street protest, and a lot of conversation around, you need to register, we need to get our PVC, we truly need to vote, because this time around, we actually need to take charge of the system by getting the right people. So that narrative has continued. And for some reason, the past couple of weeks, because, you know, so like you mentioned, the surge, we've seen an increase in the number of people reaching out, trying to get registered, going to INEC offices to get registered. The queues, our observers also reported queues around, long queues around, people just trying to get registered. There are different things that can contribute to this. One, the situation is not getting any better. And if you think about the increase in rate of insecurity, or talk about even as simple as even availability of power supply, or students, they've been on strike, the universities have been on strike for 3 months and counting. And so it seems, I think there's this fatigue and frustration amongst a lot of people. And now they are really seeing the urgency of participating in the electoral process. So there is that thing around the situation not getting better, people thinking or believing that this time around we need to vote if we really want to see a change, rather than just complain on social media. The second, I think the primaries revealed a lot of things, the party primaries.
Mm.
And that is because the outcome in itself may have been, I mean, we don't know how true that, I mean, that is an assumption, but a lot of people followed the party primaries, and people were just a bit frustrated with how monies were determining a lot of things, and the fact that there's a tendency that people may have some other candidates that they have in mind. And so the primaries definitely also sparked a lot of interest, because for several weeks, different individuals were trending on Twitter, and the conversations were basically around, you know what, guys, you need to just register and vote. And the third, I think voting is becoming a culture. If you notice, a lot of celebrities have also jumped on the race or jumped into the game, advocating and calling out to their fans to register to vote, and promoting voting as a culture for young people, and saying, you know what, this is our new identity. We need to get registered to vote, because that is the only time we have a say in the decision making. So So there is, I mean, these are several things that could contribute to that. But largely, the more you have a younger population who are largely frustrated, the larger the tendency for this population to want to make a difference. And ordinarily, in countries like Nigeria, with high youth population, young people actually ought to and should determine the outcome of the election. And I'm hoping that the next election, beyond this interest we're seeing now, that truly, truly, this interest and, how would I put, this surge in people getting registered, that it translates to actual voting. Because if you remember in 2018, towards the end of CBL processes, almost this whole surge and people asking for an extension, and but 2019 came and turnout was not impressive. So I'm hoping that we keep this spirit alive and active, and we move into the elections with that. We don't get tired or frustrated along the way. Because at the end of it all, it's not just getting registered and getting the PVC.
It's about coming out
to vote on election day. That's what changes the game.
Okay, so INEC has suggested that they might be considering an extension. Do you think the electoral body should do this?
I do believe there should be an extension. Democracy is about freedom. And for me, the better way to guarantee freedom is to ensure we put in processes in place to facilitate the exercise of that freedom. And in this sense, now freedom to choose who our leaders are. It begins with registering to vote. If Nigerians are calling out and asking INEC to extend, and INEC actually can extend within the law, I believe that INEC should listen to the people and extend. But we need to also create that awareness that an extension can only be an extension for a couple of weeks. It cannot be a definitive, because there is INEC needs to clean up, produce PVCs and distribute. So yes, I believe that INEC should extend, because Nigerians are calling out to INEC to extend. But beyond that, we've also seen challenges in some locations and areas where some individuals could not register, not for any fault of theirs, but because of some technical glitches. So considering those complaints and experience in those regions, some locations couldn't register because of insecurity, and INEC needed to relocate or move registrations to new points. So if you look at all of these other challenges, I do believe that INEC should listen to the calls of Nigerians, especially Nigerian youth, and extend the time for the CBR.
All right, Cynthia, just hold on a second. Let me ask the same question to IOB. Ayo, do you think INEC should heed the call of a lot of Nigerians, especially youths, who are saying they should consider an extension?
Well, under the Electoral Act, INEC's only constraint is that they cannot be registering closer than 90 days to the election. So I don't actually understand why INEC feels that it needs to stop registering almost 8 months before the election. People are going to reach voting age in the period between the time when they want to stop, even if they extend to the end of July. People are going to reach the age of majority when they will be able to vote, and they will be, and what is INEC going to do to disenfranchise them? I think I think that is a problem. I thought that INEC was saying they're suspending it so that they can complete these by-elections or these off-cycle gubernatorial elections, and then they would continue. But to cut it off so early is ridiculous. But let me just say this: as I said, I was at Petedo on Saturday, right in the heart of Isaleko. A lot of people who are, you call them the ordinary Nigerians, not the necessarily very wealthy, well-positioned in society. When I asked them that they should all raise their hands if they had their voter's card, almost everybody there had their voter's card. And they were, and so it's not just young people who have not been registering, actually.
Okay.
Most of the people there had their voter's card because they understand that they're going to hold, and they were talking very fiercely and strongly about how they were going to hold the people who claim to be representing them to account. So I think that while there is this push around it, we need to remember that at the last election, many people were registered to vote. Barely half of them turned out to actually vote.
And I think that when you have these sort of this sort of coercive means, you can't come to church, you won't get your salary, you can't come to my office, and all that kind of stuff. We should not just we're making it again. We're setting ourselves up for a situation where many will be called, but few will actually
be chosen. I was about to ask that question, you know, of the tactics being employed, but somehow you've answered that. Personally, I don't think that's the way to go, but hey, my opinion here maybe really doesn't count. But Cynthia, my colleague Algo, has a question for you, and of course let's get to hear that question, Cynthia.
All right, so Cynthia, by the way, I hope the Ekiti situation is going well.
Well, aside from some of, you know, we had little issues yesterday and the day before.
Okay.
But reasonably, things are going on well.
All right, so far so good. We'll touch base with Cynthia as the election in Ekiti gets closer. But, you know, so there's interestingly, I was at the TBS on Friday before the concert, and I saw all the chaos and anarchy play out right before me, and it got me thinking about just how prepared INEC was going to, because there's so many people who had come from far and wide to register. You think that INEC will have to do a lot more even beyond the extension, because it appears that there are two standards. There's the Yaba standard, where the state headquarters is, where things are going on smoothly. And then there are the other places like Festac and other areas where things aren't going very smoothly. And the registration process has been hit by several snags. What do you think in terms of what INEC needs to do to have a level ground for everyone?
Very important. Hello?
Yeah, Cindy. Yes.
No, very important question, because it's not just in Lagos. In different states, we've had different rules applied in different communities or LGAs. And we believe that INEC has that responsibility at the national, and then the state leadership, that's the resident electoral commissioners, they have a responsibility to actually ensure uniformity of their processes, uniformity in their process, and even the application of the guidelines. What we have seen, and their locations, especially locations that don't have media attention, you know, where locations in hard-to-reach areas where the machines, the IVETs, are not sufficient to attend to the large number of individuals who want to get registered. We had reports of some locations where people did not even know when INEC would get it, because INEC was doing its rotational registration. And for the next couple of days, over the weekend, we actually issued a statement calling on INEC to investigate these reports across board. You need to, because you plan for an election based on your projection on how many people would be added to the register. And there was already a projection that close to 10 million individuals would be added to the register. So it meant that INEC should have sufficiently provided the IVET and the devices for registration across board, and ensuring that regions with high population would have more IVETs provided. So it's actually, INEC really needs to step up in making this adequate provisions. You know, at the TBS, we have to, by Friday, the crowd was just, we had 30 stands were provided by INEC, but the crowd just overpowered the people there. And that just showed that a lot of individuals that came to TBS came from far away, far away in Lagos. And the reason they all moved to TBS was because they had challenges registering where they were. And they felt that coming to TBS would answer their questions. So it also is important that INEC understands the need to ensure that every local government has sufficient machine that can attend to the needs of the people. The other thing is, we've gotten a report that sometimes you have INEC officials who don't show up to register, or they come out late and close early. And these are reports that are not easily attended to by the resident electoral commissioner, because sometimes it's beyond the INEC chair. There's a reason we have recs at the state level. And it's important that the recs begin to take responsibility to get due accounts from their officers in the field. Every day, how many people did you register? And also, we have a feedback mechanism where citizens can lay complaints and receive prompt responses to their complaints. Because honestly, we've gotten reports from locations, people were asked to pay. We had a report from Zanzibar, one of the LGAs. People were asked to pay before they were registered. And that was just, it was just really, really unacceptable. And, it's like you said, it's actually for INEC to ensure that what it's written on paper is actually what is applied in the field.
Okay.
In formatting the application of the guidelines and the rules and providing adequate machines across board. Because at the end, a lot of people spend a lot of time just waiting to get registered. And citizens should not have to go through such level of stress just to get registered to vote.
All right. Thank you very much, Cynthia. We appreciate you for joining us on the show this evening.
Thank you for having me on the show. And good evening, Ayo.
Hi, Cynthia. Lovely to hear from you. I know you're out in the field.
Yeah.
All grease to your elbow.
Thank you.
Okay, quickly, Ayo is still with us. We've got about 2 more minutes or thereabout to wrap up the show. Ayo, quickly, let's talk about the race for vice presidency or vice presidential candidate, I should say. What's wrong with me this evening?
It's... You're as confused as the rest of us.
There's been a whole lot of conversation, especially in the ruling party. You know, there's been the talk of Muslim candidate. You know, there's been the talk of the North and South balance. Please give us a sense in about 2 minutes what we should be looking out for from the political parties.
Oh, I think that we will always look for the balance. The issue is, what are the factors that we are balancing? Some of us, for example, would like to see a gender balance, but we don't see that on the distant horizon. So there are all sorts of balances. But when it comes to religion, I think that the factors that are dividing us are such that it would be wise. I know I listened to the governor of Kaduna State speak very, very eloquently about the need for us to remove these issues from our polity. But I think that the way we are now, until we have been through it and realized how irrelevant it is, that is when we will be able to remove it from our polity. I think that each of the leading candidates, yes, they want balance on their tickets, but they should be confident about their own capacity to carry their party to victory and to assuage the, you know, there's so many fires on our Nigerian mountain.
I agree.
I just don't think we need to light more of them. But, you know, as Atidop Peterside would always say, what do I know?
But I'm not going to let you go without asking you the big question, the big elephant in the room. Is it happened in 1993. This is 2022.
We cannot step into the same river twice. It may be that we show that we are ready to overlook the lack of balance, but I think that with the division that we have in our community... You see, I can say that it's not the factor that will make me vote or not vote, but I know that for some people it will be like putting fire to tinder, and that will become the issue. And, you know, in Nigeria, I think we need to look for the things that can... There are some fires that we need to douse. But as I say, if a candidate feels that they can carry the load, then it's up to the Nigerian voters to tell them whether they think they're carrying it well or not.
Ayo, I would ask you to give me a simple answer in 30 seconds. Will a Muslim ticket work in 2023? I'm putting you on the spot here.
I'm not a political prophesier, so I don't know. I really don't know. No, seriously, I don't know. I mean, I know people are saying this one will not work, this one will not get votes in this, but this one will be defeated. I look at them and I marvel. I say, well, I don't have that capacity. So I don't know. And I also know that I'm not a young voter. I'm not a... the way that many Nigerian voters think is not the way that I think. So it would be foolish for me to project my own views on them. For me, it doesn't matter. But I do know that for many people...
It does
it
matter.
It may not matter, but once it becomes... once it's not there, it will matter.
All right.
And therefore, you know...
Thank you very much, Ayobe. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to seeing you on Friday when you come to the studio.
Thank you so much. Thank you for inviting me onto your show.
All right. That's, of course, Ayobe, pro-democracy activist and, of course, lawyer. And we did also have Yaga Africa's director of program talking about Cynthia Mbamalu. And we also have this big head who went to enjoy himself at the concert on Saturday, Emmanuel Onwuka. My name is Ufume Igbamunu. I've done this with Aogo Obo. We'll be back again next week, Monday. Until then, have yourselves a wonderful evening.
Nigeria Info. We are more than just radio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at Nigeria Info FM. Check us out on Facebook at Nigeria Info 99.3. Follow us on Twitter at Nigeria Info FM and on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Lagos for live updates as it happens. 99.3 Nigeria Info.